It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy, a Friday morning coffee rip number 329. This is the audio sidekick to the Access of Easy weekly newsletter debrief. You can find out about all the latest in data breach and overreach at accessofeasy.com. Len, if you sign up with your email, you get like 10% off your next domain buy or something like that, which is pretty good. Anyway, lots to talk about this week, buddy. How the heck are you over there this beautiful Friday morning?
This same. You know, we're just approaching the last few days before we go to Christmas. Hope you've done all your shopping. I've done it, so I'm happy. I'm ready to rock. And yeah, the same old shit here. How about you?
I'm good, man. I got to get one more thing for my brother, probably today or tomorrow. And then, we're recording CBP in person today. Mark is actually on his way here later this morning, which is super. And then, we're in the holiday mood. I got my wife's work party this weekend, some other stuff going on. I think I might get together with my guy buddies Saturday night for the Bills game. We'll see. Got lots going on, though. It's the holidays, right? Everyone likes that. And I'm off work today, which is great. Anyway, so this week, Len, let's talk about the quote from last week, as we always do. Sometimes the truth is too simple for intellectuals. That was by Jean-Paul Sartre. And the truth never hurts unless it ought to. That was by James Dines. Aaron got the first quote right, but no one got the second. So congrats, Aaron. Nice job there. This week's quote, Len. I can tell my eyes are getting worse here because this font is very small. Christmas is the spirit of giving without a thought of getting. It is happiness because we see joy in people. It is forgetting self and finding time for others. It is discarding the meaningless and stressing the true values. If you know who that quote was by, put it in the comments. You know the deal. No Googling, no searching. Trivia rules.
It wasn't
rules,
a communist.
Right?
That's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, trivia rules. Wasn't a commie. Wasn't Ebenezer Scrooge, I'm sure. So if you know who it was by, throw it in the comments. And Len, with that, we may as well get into the stories here. We got five dingers.
Could still be Scrooge. That's, you know.
You think he, what, like when he came around at the end of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, It's absolutely. See,
I doubt it, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I just don't think it. I don't think it was. I went to bar trivia the other night. It was Christmas. A lot of Christmas movie questions. I was surprised at how few that I knew.
What can I say? I don't know. Gotta brush up. Gotta watch all those movies. Gotta watch all those. There's a lot of them too. Sure. And if you're not playing the TV channel that has the fireplace running 24/7. You're not in the Christmas spirit.
That's funny. Let's go.
Let's rock. Let's talk about we got five stories today, Joey.
Yeah.
So we have smart toys. That's the first one that we're going to talk about. Because biometric data looks like it's being collected by companies through children's smart toys. And people that are buying these should be considering the privacy risks associated with these toys. And some of these risks include stuff like data breaches, hacking, and identity theft. And on top of that, you know, these smart toys, they could also collect, this gets really damning here, children's biometric data, iris scans and fingerprints. And of course, there's a potential to misuse this data. And also, don't forget the voice, they're going to be categorizing the voice as well. And this is a lot of damning information. But one such example of a smart toy harvesting data is a doll that could record conversations. And what it does, it gets this information, records it, and it sends it off to the manufacturer. And another such example is a teddy bear that can track a child's location. Now, you don't expect these things to be that doing that much data collection.
Why are they even being sold? Like, what is, why do you need a toy that does this? Like, is it to keep track of the kid? Like, you assume that the kid disappears, he's going to have the teddy bear. Like, there's no reason for this, I think, is the core of the problem, right?
Yeah, but if they can make the teddy bear cheaper, it makes it more attractive to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And how did they make it cheaper? Well, they've harvested the data in the past, sold it off, used that money to lower the cost of selling the units, and here we go. And then it spirals out of control. And the problem is that a lot of these toys, they're made in China, and where, you know, that's the land where they have few laws protecting children's privacy.
Yeah.
And it's quite possible that the data that is being collected and harvested by these smart toys can be used for malicious purposes in the future. Once you have all this information, what are you going to do? Just sit on it? Well, no, you probably act upon it. And this is just a call to action for parents out there that they need to be more careful about the smart toys that they're buying for their children and be aware of the privacy risks associated with getting them. So people should do more research before they buy it. The information is readily available. You got to spend the time to do it. Granted, I understand people's times are stretched thin these days, but if you value your privacy, you would want to do a little bit of research before buying that cheap teddy bear or anything else as a smart toy that you're going to give your child. So yeah, be very careful moving forward because you may be the product in the end and you don't want to be the product.
I can't believe, again, like that people buy toys that have tracking in them. Presumably, like some of these things, there's probably like an app, they know, like a partner app that comes with this for the parents' phone, like, you know, what, listen to what your kids are saying or make sure you're controlling what's, you know, being recorded and shared and whatnot. Like there is still privacy laws, and I don't see it in the story anywhere, unfortunately. But one thing I'm curious about is like, are parents really that sort of tech illiterate that they're just, you know, rubber stamping all the privacy stuff as it comes through on the phone or on the device itself? Like, I just don't know. And one of the things we talk about on the show all the time is like this sort of malaise people are in when it comes to their data. Parents are not exempt from this. In fact, you know, as you mentioned, parents probably maybe like the greatest target you could have for something like this, just because they're so busy and stretched so thin that they just assume everything is kosher and off they go, right? Anytime they get a new toy or a new device. This sucks, man. It really does suck because now, you know, you're going to have these kids, you know, assuming you can identify them down the road with the data and sort of put their data pool with them, you know, you basically have like a moldable consumer from the day they pop out of the womb. How effed up is that? That's so bad, man. We've fallen so far in that regard. So anyway, it's something to keep an eye on. I don't know of any specific data pools for little kids, but I'm sure there are many. You know, don't forget, we have laws in this country, but like what are we used to anyway? This is okay. So deep cut here for you to give you an idea of how far we've fallen. I'm 36. And when I was a kid in the mid to late 90s, watching TV after school, you remember, Len, YTV used to have this thing called The Zone?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you know why YTV had The Zone?
No. I assumed they're just catering to kids. I mean, young.
So technically that's correct. But one of the big reasons they had The Zone was because in the 90s, there were laws about how many commercials you could show during youth-focused programming. And so what they did was have these TV personalities come on and just like play games and do the stuff with Snit and LVs, and the VJs on YTV sort of took on this role of the in-between TV shows in place of commercials, because there were laws about who could advertise and how much to kids. Compare it to this story, right? Where we are now, where literally not only are they targeting kids, you know, with ads, they're stealing data from the kids, man. Like, it's unbelievable. We've really thrown our youngest, you know, demographic to the wolves here in a lot of ways. So interesting.
This happens
stuff.
Right from the get-go, Joey.
Remember, it's crazy.
Get these baby monitors, and they hook them up.
Yeah, baby monitors, great example, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then once it's hooked up to the internet, there's no way to stop it from sending data to wherever it wants to send data to. And that's right from birth.
You know, I have so many friends that are like proudly, you know, telling me about how cool their internet connected baby monitors are. They can see it on their phone, blah blah blah. I'm like, man, you know, if you can see it on your phone, then you ain't the only one, unfortunately for you. Anyway, interesting stuff all the same. Keep an eye out.
One option I'll throw out there for people: get a cheap laptop, throw a operating system that you trust in it, you know, like one of the flavors of Linux, and you could run that, and you go point the camera from the cheap laptop to your child, and that's, you know, a cheap way to look at it, and it's all open source. You could set up your own network, virtual private network if you wanted to, and it's safe and secure in that respect. It takes more work, yes, but you're not the product of that in that
point. No, that's right.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll talk about a major security breach that took place with the chip maker NXP. This is crazy stuff. Excuse me. And hackers infiltrated the network of the chip maker for over 2 years.
Yeah.
And they were stealing sensitive data. And NXP manufactured chips for e-government applications such as electronic passports, RFID tags and labels, and transport and access management. And there's a whole bunch of things that this could potentially impact. And the attackers, they gained access to an employee email and network drives. And from there, they sought out and obtained chip designs and other intellectual property. And this was all done in a single day, from what I understand. Like that's when they were able to get access to it. But then the campaign lasted a full 2 years. From that one access point in that single day, it was over a two-year period of time. It started late 2017 and ended in start of 2020. And this is really, really scary, because NXP did not alert customers or shareholders as to what happened, except for a very brief snippet. If you look at it from the 2019 annual report, and it didn't really give that much details into it, except saying that there was some sort of incident that they reported to their shareholders. That is not very, that's not providing information to the people that invested money in your company. And security researchers, on top of the fact that they may have rugged potential investors moving forward, security researchers are saying that there's potential concerns here about the impact of the hack, because the stolen data may include the source code and hardware designs for NXP chips. And if you have this could allow hackers to exploit vulnerabilities in the devices in these chips. Nothing is secure. With enough time and effort, you could hack into anything. But when you have this information, you decrease the time and effort required to hack into this. And all this could potentially be putting millions of customers at risk. NXP, however, they downplay the impact of the hack. And they claim that it has no material adverse effect on their business. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Anyways, this hack also raises the concern about the supply chain of these chips. NXP chips are used in a wide variety of devices, from cars and smartphones to medical equipment and industrial machinery. So if hackers could somehow exploit some of these vulnerabilities in these chips, the consequences will be far reaching. And the lack of transparency by NXP is not just concerning, it is damning evidence, as they don't give a crap about their shareholders as a result. But this is, I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of floored at the fact that they weren't forthcoming with the information about this hack. And it lasted for over 2 years, 2 years and change. And still we're kind of connecting dots. This is not some small company. This is a very large chip maker, and we still don't know enough of what's going on. That's interesting, to say the least.
Not a surprise though, right? We talk all the time about how these guys wait, you know, as long as they possibly can before they start telling people about the hack and the nature of the hack. Some interesting commentary here, or some interesting stuff to note, I should say, about the sort of nature of the clientele, okay, for NXP. Infotainment systems, advanced driver assistance systems, electrification and powertrain control, and more. That's just in vehicles, okay? Then you talk about their top 10 clients, just listed alphabetically, okay? And this article notes that some of them are supplied by distributors. So to your point about the security of the supply chain, very much in question here, and they're noting that. In alphabetical order, Apple, Aptiv, Bosch, Continental, Denso, Harman Kardon, Harman Audio, LGE, Samsung, Visteon, and Vistisco. You know any of those companies, Len?
A few of them, yeah.
like those are pretty big names. And
maybe they should offer them free credit monitoring services.
I'm waiting to see the 2 year credit offering thing. Now, as is a tradition here on Access of VZ, I'm going to look at the NXP stock price here live on air. It's
I'll say it's flat for the past week.
It's up. It's up 15% this month. It's up. It's down 2% the last 5 days. So again, this is a conversation for another time. But you know, you can't tell me that a company is being taken for their information for their IP for 2 years and the stock goes down 2%. Like, we're not attached to fundamentals here in 2023, the year of our Lord. So I would just say that, you've been on this beat for a long time, and maybe not quite on the hardware side, but you have to protect your data any way you can. And that the best way to do that is by using open source stuff. And there is open source hardware, I believe, as well, right? We've talked about some of the Bitcoin wallets and whatnot that have, more transparency into the manufacturing, more transparency into what exactly is inside, where it comes from, things like that. These guys, just another example of a company that does not care about the safety of its users, only cares about the stock price. And you are once again, walking the plank dealing with these companies, even the big ones, Len. There's nowhere to hide these days from this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not some mom and pop shop. This is a very large company, and to do this, it just
the weirdest thing is that, like, you and me are pretty, like, tuned into this stuff, I think, way more than most. But if we weren't doing this show, I would never have seen that story.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
I would never have seen it. And I have an iPhone. I use a bunch of that stuff. Like, anyone who's got, like, a car made in the last 7-8 years probably has this electronic, you know, I don't know. Just sucks. It sucks for everybody.
This is why I drive my Yugo, and it's fine. It has there's no electronics whatsoever, but got to push it every so often because it won't start. Channel One. This is a new news network, and it's going to be personalized global news. Channel One, never heard of it until, again, I read this story. It is powered by generative AI that will be fully launched in 2024. And Channel One can be described by some as a movement. But for that, who knows? This may be a change for the way people consume their news. And the network will use AI to personalize the news feeds to each individual user. And this will be based on a number of different things, such as their interest and their preferences. Again, their data harvesting, they're getting that information either directly or indirectly to figure out exactly how to tailor this to the individual users. Mm-hmm. And Channel One will also use original content, such as documentaries and interviews, to try to round things out. And they say that the avatars will be based on, quote, real people. Kind of reminds me, I don't know if you ever played Deus Ex, but...
Mankind Divided is one of the most underrated games of the last 15 years.
Eliza Kazan, the news reporter. This is essentially what it is. This is Eliza Kazan. Anyways, Channel One says that its newscasters can be completely generated to have their own personality, appearance, and voice. Again, Eliza Kazan. If you want to get on board, you can, because, you know, there's on the website, you can simply sign up. Users can sign up using their sign up form, and also you could share your thoughts with Channel One if you did decide to do it. Let's see
who's reading the feedback. The AI, the AI
is reading the feedback. Let's be honest, this is really another way to pull the strings on the news and, of course, report it within a certain slant. Yeah. And the people programming this, too. I'm not talking about the actual network itself, I'm talking about the AI that's running it. They could make the AI lean in whichever direction they want it to. And they could provide whatever fake news they want, or hide whatever content what actually matters. Whatever they want, it could be done. But now it's going to be done with software, and it could be done much more easily. And of course, tailored to the individual. I could see this being a massive hit, because people will love to get stuff that's tailored to them. But again, at what cost? What information did you have to give up? Number one, to have it tailored to you. And number two, the information that's being sent to you, is it really the truth? Is it massaged? Is it given in such a way to make you just want to feel a certain way, and they're hiding something else? Maybe there's a war far away that, you know, if you see it, you tend to get upset, so you'll never see the images of that again. But reality, the war still exists, and people are still getting slaughtered over there. This is not the right direction we should be going, but unfortunately, this is the direction we are going.
How is it possible that this is going to look anything? It's going to look like anything other than Twitter, basically, now, right? Where your For You algorithm, to your point about, like, you know, feeling a certain way, it is meant to trigger an emotional response in the viewers and in the scrollers. And it doesn't matter whether you like the news or not. What matters is that you keep scrolling or stay on. You know, is this going to be a never ending newscast? It just keeps giving you more and more stories, the same way your For You feed just scrolls forever. It could be, right? It notices when you click away from the window when you're watching it. It notices when you go to another app. It notices, you know, X, Y, Z, and then decides what to feed you next. You know, and this Eliza clone just keeps spitting out whatever current events she thinks are going to keep you on the page while they stream you ads as well. This is weird, man. But it's really only weird because it's like an AI avatar and not just an algo in the background feeding you stuff. But really, you're already living in this sort of environment, this reality. Anytime you go on Twitter, I would imagine Facebook is the same. The YouTube Shorts page, for example, like if I scroll that, you know, it knows where I spend most of my time. And so now all I get is like Sam Selleck workout videos. You know, like that's what I watch. So that's all I get. And this is going to be very much the same. It's going to continue to silo people and cause these sort of rifts and fault lines we've seen pop up in the age of social media over the last 10 or 15 years. I think the maybe the funniest thing about this, Len, is that like this is a new, quote unquote, new news network, but isn't every news network going to go this way? I mean, here in Canada, we have obviously like these huge subsidies for news networks. Why doesn't the CBC or the federal government just say to the CBC, look, your Rosie is out. Everyone over there is out. We're going to run an AI bot. It's going to give, we're going to give it the talking points. We're going to give it the spin. And we could even bring in real people for this thing to interview. Like we can't be far away from that. It's just, it's a cost cutting measure. Right. And so right now this is kind of novel, but I think in the next 5 or 6 years, you're going to see a lot more of this. How could you not? It's the fiscally responsible thing to do. Unfortunately, this is where we are.
I'm not going to think that CBC is going to be one spearheading this initially. It would probably
right,
be
one of right. the other ones. You get the idea though, right? Like one, sure. one of the majors will do it. It's only a matter of when.
Sure. But there's a fundamental difference between this and what you get on Twitter. Because at least on Twitter, you could scroll up quickly if you don't like something. When it's fed to you by video format,
you may be able to do the same thing on this. You don't know. How do you know you won't be able to hit the next story? You have no idea. I can't imagine they come up with all the technology to feed you something like this. And then say, by the way, you can't skip. Like, I don't even watch commercials on TV, buddy. Like, there's no way these guys are going to make me watch a story I don't want to see, because that jeopardizes the engagement, the consistency with which I stay on the page, right? So I think they'll probably do that. It's all the same. It's like, yeah, it's very strange. It's all very strange. I don't want any part of this. I'm not going to start watching news just because it's some AI avatar. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you that much.
I thought we were going to be coming to your house for Christmas and watch the AI news.
Yeah, you coming over? 24-hour AI news instead of the fireplace.
Well, that's actually a really good idea. All Christmas stories. Fabricated too. It's all AI generated.
Amazing.
Anyways, the Canadian government, they paid some Twitter influencers. And this, I believe, comes from Blacklocks. They're the ones that had the scoop on this. So this is a report that showed the money came from Health Canada, which paid about 14 influencers on Twitter, and the amount totaled around $680,000. The reason why they did this was to help people in Canada make informed decisions about COVID-19 vaccinations.
That's not what informed decisions means, by the way, but go ahead. Yeah.
Furthermore, it is reported that the influencers are not required to reveal that they are government paid influencers, because of course that would be very embarrassing. And when you dig a little bit deeper into this, if you look at the people that were paid, at least reportedly paid, I have no
looks like an access information request, basically, right? So, that's how this looks to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just leave it at that and report the part, but number of these accounts, they don't exist.
Yeah,
you know, if they were large influencers 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever this may be, and they're getting paid this money to help talk about this type of narrative, why are the accounts no longer around? You know, if I had a large account that had, an account that had a large number of followers, and I was quote unquote an influencer, I wouldn't close it down. I'd keep that open as long as possible and try to, I'm sorry to say this, but look into monetization of that some way. Now, in fact, Twitter's doing that. Just simply by tweeting out, if there's lots of engagement, you're going to get paid for that. So they've basically helped you monetize your engagement with people. But why did they close it down? Were they fake to begin with? Were they? Yeah, there's so much here that just it reeks, and I don't know what to think, because I don't have all the information. But what I do have, all the information I do have, doesn't really add up. I'd love to know what happened to these accounts, why these specific accounts were paid. And there's more to it we have to get. We're just scratching the surface here. But as we get deeper, it's going to be a bombshell. And that's a lot of money if it's true. $680,000. I mean, that's, I guess, one condo in Toronto area that could house 3 or 4 people. That's what it equates to, essentially. 3 or 4 people off the streets. I'll leave it at that.
I'm terminally online, and was even more so terminally online during COVID. I don't recognize a single one of these accounts. There's about 10 or 12 of them. I don't recognize any of them. And Len, you know, if we throw this into the pot with all the other sort of misspent money during COVID, let's talk about just the last like 2 months worth of stories. You saw a story come out the other day that those COVID tests in the green boxes, everyone's talking about, the test results were manipulated before the government gave out that, you know, multi-million dollar contract. Nice one. You talk about the ArriveCan app you know, two guys in their basement get 50 million or 60 million, whatever that number was, and then outsource it. Basically, it sounds like to Fiverr or something similar for like, you know, one tiny fraction of that. Nice one. Now you got this story, influencers paid to influence, you know, to influence people about making an informed, very much in air quotes, decision about COVID-19 vaccination. Credibility not high on the list, I don't think, unfortunately, these days for influencers. So I'm not surprised, actually. I know you said that some of the accounts don't exist anymore, but you got to figure, like, if you had been one of the people who were pushing the vaccine on Twitter, how do you think your Twitter feed looked? Like, how do you think your replies looked during COVID? It probably wasn't pretty, you know? Like, I would imagine a lot of people were on you about a lot of different things, especially if you had built an audience. Now, to your point, and like I said earlier, I don't actually know any of these accounts, so I wouldn't be surprised if some of them were kind of like, you know, made the same way that businesses were quote unquote started during COVID to get these huge loans. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just more money out the door that we're never going to see again, that we didn't get any really ROI on. It's not good. And, you know, it's like a continuing kind of billowing of smoke here. And like you said, I think we'll dig a little deeper. There's going to be quite a fire here and with the other stuff as well. It's just one thing after another these days from COVID, from the COVID era.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's, excuse me, keep this moving on. And the marketing giant, Cox Media Group, they've had some interesting approaches, controversial approaches. Because they've ignited a fiery debate on the realm of privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of a claim of a groundbreaking advertising technique. And they assert the ability to listen in to private conversations happening near smartphones and smart TVs and stuff like that. And this is going to be aiming to leverage the information for hyper-targeted ad campaigns. Again, you are the product. And the proposed method involves utilizing microphones that are embedded in these devices, and that would be capturing snippets of conversations occurring in the surrounding environment. Cox Media Group, they argue that the data, when anonymized and aggregated, can reveal valuable insights into consumer preferences and behaviors. And armed with this knowledge, they envision tailoring advertisements to individual households based on the topics discussed within their walls. So there's nothing within your walls that is going to be private. For instance, if a family mentions an upcoming family vacation, such as plans they want to go somewhere they want to go, they may be bombarded with targeted ads for hotels and tourist attractions for their chosen destination. So be careful when you talk to your significant other about anything, because they are listening. And there's concerns that this is going to extend beyond the immediate ad targeting, and there's fears of that capturing data that could be used for nefarious purposes, such as profiling individuals for political campaigns.
Insane. This is completely insane, man.
Or
it's
even
it's an insane story. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Or even worse, some sort of surveillance by Uncle Sam. And Cox Media, the name Cox, love it. That's what they are. It's insist on utilizing the anonymized data for adhering to privacy regulations. So they say that they're going to be respecting people's privacy as a result of collecting all this information. But when you get all this information, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of personal data that's going to be shared amongst people, amongst this company. What are they going to do with it? They're just going to sit on it idly by and say, we're going to do nothing? No, they're going to do something. If they can make a buck, they're a company, they're in business to make a profit, they will do that. They will continually make profit. And again, if you're the product, you're going to be the one that they're going to be trying to squeeze every dollar out of it. So again, your data is very important to you. The devices we buy, these smart devices we buy, they come with microphones. People talk into, I guess, their TV or the remote to the TV or other stuff. There's a microphone picking up your information. That's not groundbreaking news here. So if it's collecting information, it's listening to you, there's a potential to collect information. Try to limit the amount of devices you could buy that have these features. I don't know if it's possible these days to get a new TV.
It's not possible. I was just about to say, like, if you think about the way that technology moves, Len, like, you buy a PlayStation 5, for example, right? You have a PS5. That controller has a mic in it. You know, you can hit the mute button lights up, but you know they're still listening. And, you know, we've talked on this show, and you and I have, like, talked in the past about...
You didn't crack open your controller and remove the mic?
I didn't break it open, no. No, I didn't. There's literally mics all over the place in my house. Anyway, so, like, the other thing I was about to say is, we you know, you and I have spoken in the past about, like, how you could just talk a little bit about something, and before you know it, your phone is feeding you ads for that thing, even if it's got no actual relevance to your life. You know, you've not searched it, you've not typed it, it's not been keystroked or anything like that. It's just something you mentioned in passing a few times. Could be like an inside joke that you hear at a bar or something, and then everyone is talking about it. Now, this has been something that most sane people know has been happening for a long time. The problem I have with this is, if you extrapolate this out to its logical sort of next step or end place, you know, how many podcasts, I'll out myself here a little bit, okay? I listen to at least a handful of podcasts that are, you know, in sort of the current societal meta, distasteful. And if I'm listening to those podcasts near my TV where I play video games, which I frequently do, right? Last night I was playing a little bit of Madden late night, and I had a podcast running that, you know, many people would say is, yo, you shouldn't be listening to that. It's not, the opinions are not right. It's blah, blah. How long until these companies are selling that data to governments, law enforcement, you know, or you can get that data as a big employer and find out, like, oh, what's this guy listening to at 10 o'clock at night? This is the danger. And when people talk about, you know, these data honeypots, it also doesn't have to be sold, Len. It can just be compromised. We literally talk about five different stories every week where people are either compromised or putting themselves in a position to be compromised with sensitive data. This is a good example of that. Now, here's the sort of big question here. Now that you know this is happening, some of the companies listed here are fucking huge, by the way. LinkedIn among them, CBS, Fox News, ESPN, CMG, all promoting the eavesdrop, all promoting the ability to eavesdrop on consumers through microphones and smartphones, TVs, and smart speakers. Now that you know this, will you change your behavior? No, you won't. Nobody, well, you won't. Well, there's no way you're going to change. No, there's no chance that you will meaningfully change your behavior.
My buying habits change.
You can't. If something breaks in your house, you need to get a new TV. It's going to have a mic in it. What are you going to do?
I'll do as much research to find one that doesn't have it. You say that they all do. I haven't yet looked for, because all my TVs are relatively old.
Yeah.
The two I have. I don't know. I'd look for one that doesn't have this kind of stuff. I'm crossing my fingers to see if one doesn't have
it. Then it won't work. It won't work with, like, your cable box, right? Like your cable box. Or whatever, like whatever high def stuff you have, like your PlayStation, your Xbox, like it won't work with the TV. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like a constant slingshot where to get ahead of the thing you bought 5 years ago when you didn't need the accessory. Now you need the accessory. And then before you know it, you're kind of climbing this ladder of, like, you know, high tech gadgets in your house. Even if you don't use the mic or need it, it's there. And then, you know, you're stuck after that. You're stuck. The problem is you can't go backwards, right? And so planned obsolescence is nefarious for a lot of reasons. Obviously, it forces people into consumption, but now it's even worse. Now you're forcing people into tech that's damaging to their sort of day-to-day privacy. It's not good. This should be, again, like, not to be clamoring for daddy state to come in and help me, but, like, this should be illegal in all truthfulness. And so when I say that the reason this is important is because it'll eventually be sold or given to governments. If you say no, it won't, I say, well, why isn't it illegal then? It's because they want the data at some point, or they may want the data at some point. Never forget, years ago, many years ago now, Amazon gave, quote unquote, what was supposed to be, quote unquote, anonymized data from an Alexa to the police department to investigate a murder. It's not anonymized if you know who it came from. That's not how anonymized data works. And so when I hear this story, like you mentioned, oh, the data is anonymized, it's BS, man. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And neither should you at the end of the day.
You know what works as a TV that doesn't give the information up is a monitor, a computer monitor.
Because I bought a monitor when I bought this computer for CBP. I bought a monitor to go with it. And the monitor has special software and only takes like this weird HDMI cable I've never seen that is for sure transferring video, sound, and data. It's got like
squarish one?
It's a squared off one. Exactly.
That's a digital that's nothing to do with harvesting data. It's just another connection. This is what I understand to connect to. It's more prevalent in computers, this type of connection.
I don't know.
So Yeah,
I mean, I don't believe anything, Len. I don't believe anything about any of this stuff. I just don't. And
we have to take action.
We have to be more proactive. Anyway, this is the end of Access of Easy and CBP because I'm moving off the grid into the woods where there are no microphones.
I'm joining you. Let's do it somewhere warm, though. I don't want to go to the
cold. We'll have to do everything. Everything will be done in person and recorded on an old JVC handheld. What do you use? Camcorder. Camcorder, they're called. That's right.
Yeah, when you put in the cartridge, like the tape in there.
We'll mail this out to Access of Easy every week. So you'll be a couple of weeks behind on the content, but at least it'll be secure.
And low def, too. Yeah. You're going to get the squiggly line every so often.
That's like trendy now. They call that lo-fi. Anyway, listen, I got to go to the gym. Mark's going to be here in a bit. God bless everyone. Enjoy your Christmas, man. Merry Christmas from Len and I. All the best to you and your family. Thanks for listening and watching every week. And we are going to be doing a show next week over the holidays. So stay tuned. You'll see us in the same place, same time.
Yeah, we don't take a break. Yeah, take care.